I have been preaching a series of sermon, and I'll probably go back to it. I'm nowhere near done preaching about eternity. And, you know, it's something that we need to think about. By the way, it's going to be forever. There's only two places that you can go, heaven or hell. And really, we need to stop and take account and figure out which one of the two places we want to go. Because, as they say, we're playing for keeps. There's no second chances. I don't read anywhere where I can pay any amount of money that they are to get somebody out of hell and pray them into heaven. It don't work that way. But today I felt led to go a different direction. And I'm going to be in the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 16, a familiar passage with most Bible readers. Most people are familiar with this. And the judges were appointed and anointed. Appointed and anointed by God in the Old Testament for situations that they were in. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon them to deliver them from their enemies. And we have one of the stories here in the book of Judges. Samson is one of those that had supernatural strength. God used him in a marvelous way. And most of you probably are familiar with the Nazarite vow. He had taken the Nazarite vow. His mother had given him over to the Nazarite vow, and the vow was he wasn't to have anything of the grape, any strong drink or grapes or raisins or anything like that to eat. He wasn't to be around any dead bodies. But part of that vow was that he was to let the locks of his hair grow and to never cut them. I don't understand it, but it's not up for me to understand. That was the strength that God had given him, was the strength of his hair. And I'm probably going to do a little bit more reading this morning than I normally do, and I hope I can preach this the way that I feel it this morning. But I'm going to start in Judges 16 and verse 16. And it said, "As it came to pass, then when she pressed him daily with her words," this is Delilah we're talking about, "and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for if he has shewed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money into their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees and call for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." I'm going to stop right there just a minute. You know, the only thing worse than the Lord being departed from you is the Lord being departed from you and you not realize it. He would have shook himself like he did many times before, but the anointing was gone. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. And howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, and they said, call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Samson was a hero. He was a hero to the Israelite nation. He was a mighty man, not only in strength, but in war. He had slew the Philistines time and time again. He'd made sport out of them. He'd embarrassed them. He made fun of them. But Samson had a weakness. Her name was Delilah. Be careful of who you tell your secrets to. He gave her his heart, and she took his hair. He's seeking the Lord for another chance. You know, I preached Sunday night about the devil sees the potential that he has in you. Some of you was here and remember me preaching about that. You remember the devil entered into Judas. But you read on down in Scripture, and he wanted Peter. But Peter wasn't for sale. He seen the potential in Samson. He knew what Samson could do. The enemy knew that he was a destroyer of the Philistines. If I could just get him to confess his heart and his secret, then I could take out their warrior. I could take out the man of God, the one that was anointed, the one that was appointed by God. I could take him out. Listen to me, the devil wants you. Samson gave her his heart, and she took his head, his hair. The devil's tactics are the same. Brother Virgil, the first thing he'll do is he'll take your sight, and the next thing he'll do, he'll take your strength. He's now walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. The power that he once had, the power that he once knew, it's no longer there, it's gone. When you walk in the flesh and not in the spirit, you're in dangerous territory. When we get to walking in the flesh and doing what flesh wants to do and not what the Spirit is telling us to do, you're walking on thin ice. He is now in a prison house. Bound. Without vision. I apologize if I get a little bit emotional right here, but I know what it's like to be blind. He could not see any. I don't know how they put his eyes out. Some scholars say that they took torches and burned them out. Others say that they took sharp objects and they gouged them out. Listen to me, the devil does not care how much pain and how much suffering that you're in. He is, and he doesn't, he's still going to keep at you. He's not your friend. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to hurt you. But he now finds himself behind a millstone. Laboring. Some of these millstones could weigh up to 1,000 pounds. They used two donkeys or two horses to pull them. He's in the dark. He's pushing against something that he cannot see. Do you ever feel like that? I don't know, but it was just, I was talking to Brother Chris about this yesterday. There was something here last Sunday, and I'll tell you what, I was pushing hard. There was an oppression upon the service last Sunday morning. I don't know if you felt it or not, but I sure did. I was pushing against something I could not see. Has anybody else ever been there? I mean, if I could just see it, I'd know what to do. But here he is. Samson is in the grinding the millstone, grinding wheat or barley or whatever it was he was grinding. He had no idea what he was grinding. All he knew was it was hard and it was heavy and he was pushing against it. Grinding and laboring and pushing. He's no longer living by faith. But Samson is now walking without sight. Pushing in the dark against something that he could not see. But God still remains. He was blind, but God still remains. He was in the prison house, but God still remains. He was locked in shackles, but God still remains. And then I seen something. His hair began to grow. The cost. They took his eyes out. He's blind. He's hurt. He's weak. The devil does not care how much he hurts you. He does not stop. So some of you are here today, you're in the dark and you're pushing against something that you cannot even see. And then the call come. Won't you bring Samson down here? We're having a party. Let us make sport of him. They wanted him there. And I want you to think about this. He's blind. They brought him down there so they could no doubt throw objects at him. Spit on him. Brother Isaac, they could throw anything they wanted to it. He couldn't see it coming. What a mess. Samson messed up. I'm not here to defend him. He gave the enemy his heart and she took his hair. Samson messed up. But the devil messes up too. The first thing that he done, I want you to notice here. The first thing that he done was that they should have left Samson alone. But they brought him to the house. You know, the devil would have been better off if some of y'all would have stayed home today. But the problem was they took him to the house. This is the house. If the devil could just get you to stay home and say it's just another Sunday, there's no reason for you to go. It'll still be there when you get there. But they brought him to the house. That was mistake number one. Mistake number two was that they had a lad to lead him. Samson may have been blind, but that lad had vision. He still had his eyesight. He could still see. Listen to me. When you get the youth with vision, teamed up with the elderly with the anointing, let me run by you again. I don't think some of y'all caught that. When you get the youth with vision, joined up with the elderly that has the anointing, you may say, well, what are you worried about the young people for? I mean, they're just kids. I'll show you a church that'll die. Hey, when I'm in the house, I want the house to come down. And if we want the house to come down, we need the vision with the anointing. We need the young with the old. These youth, some might say, well, they don't have the experience as some of the older people do. Well, let's turn that around. Some of you older people don't have the vision these young people do. I want to see the house come down. I want to see the power and the anointing of God. I want to kill more of the devil than I've ever killed before. I want to see more of the enemy die than I've ever seen before. That brings up a question that I had. is how did Samson know that there were two pillars there? How did he know that they was there? I felt like the Lord spoke to me and told me that because he had been there before. Makes sense, don't it? You know, you can go through life and miss opportunities that you'll later regret. If Samson had took down the pillars before, he wouldn't be standing there, them making sport of him, making fun of him, praying and worshiping their god Dagon. But Samson left opportunities passing by. When you lose the anointing, you can't feel it anymore. You know, he said, let me feel the pillars. If you lose the anointing, you can't feel it when they preach. You can't feel it when they sing. There's nothing that stirs you anymore. There's no more amens. There's no more standing to your feet. You can't get you out of your chair. You can't raise your hands anymore and give God the praise. I mean, that should just come naturally. But when the Spirit of the Lord departed from Samson, he didn't know it. It becomes gradual. And he began to feel it again. The anointing. His hair began to grow. When you lose the anointing, you can't feel it anymore. You know, he said, let me feel the pillars. If you lose the anointing, you can't feel it when they preach. You can't feel it when they sing. There's nothing that stirs you anymore. There's no more amens. There's no more standing to your feet. You can't get you out of your chair. You can't raise your hands anymore and give God the praise. I mean, that should just come naturally. But when the Spirit of the Lord departed from Samson, he didn't know it. It becomes gradual. And he began to feel it again. The anointing. His hair began to grow. And I see the conclusion of all of it. He said, let me die between the pillars. Lord, I need to feel that anointing again. Lord, if it costs me my life, let me feel the pillars. Let me get a hold of the pillars. I believe Brother Virgil, when he got a hold of them pillars, he says, I'm not turning them loose. I want to... We are in, I believe, the great falling away that the Bible teaches. You say, you got a good crowd here this Sunday morning. Yes, we got a good crowd, but I believe we're in the great falling away. I've got a hold of something and I'm not turning it loose. I have a hold of something that causes the house to stand. I believe the rapture. Is coming soon. The church will be raptured out of here. Jesus, I believe, is coming to take His bride, and I've been preaching on eternity. I believe He's coming for a people that have made themselves ready. But mark my words down, they'll have church the following Sunday at the house of prayer. Some will. Makes me wonder, will they even miss us when we're gone? There'll be some that have heard enough scripture. You can read on over where they'll become the martyrs for Christ. But I'll tell you what, I would just as soon die right now. Lord, put me between the pillars. And if I must die here, salvation is free. Don't get me wrong. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Salvation is absolutely free. But if you want the anointing, it's going to cost you everything. I'm talking about being sold out. A powerhouse for God. Lord, I want that anointing. And if it takes everything that I've got, and that's what it is, Lord, I'm willing to give it. I need to feel something today. If you're struggling with giving an amen, or some of you that can't get on your feet, raise your hands. If you feel like you've been in the dark and you've been pushing and you've been grinding, you've been going through the motions, you've been reading your Bible, you've been trying to study, you've been trying to pray. Are you willing to get between the pillars? Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like that God has given me another chance. Come back to the music if you will. I've preached long enough. But you feel like you've just been grinding and you've been toiling and you've been pushing against the dark. That fire that once burned down inside of you is all but gone out. I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm not saying you're a bad person. But the zeal that was once there, one day you woke up and it's gone. You know, I remember a few years back, we used to preach on heaven, and people would shout. You know what I think our problem is we got it too comfortable here now. We got too many things in the world that's keeping us. Too many luxuries and too many pleasures and too many things here that we've got too much here and not enough there. But I think God is still looking for a few people that are willing to say that I'm willing to give everything up. Get a hold of the pillars of the altar and say, Lord, here I am. I'm a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, willing and obedient to be used. Lord, use me however you want to use me. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Today is your day. You say, well, Brother Denton, I don't know that I can do what you're asking me to do. Listen to me, salvation's free. It don't cost you a thing. But when you get saved, your life will change. Your desires will be different. You'll want to serve and to worship and to please the God of heaven. You'll want to do things that He's pleased with and things that He's proud of, or you'll want to make Him a better servant. That's really what I'm preaching about this morning. Is you'll have that desire down in your heart to feel the things that you once felt. To be at the place that you once was. To be that warrior that you used to be. On fire, that like what you one time was. I look at some of these young people that just come back from youth camp. Brother Bobby, they're on fire. I can look back through my life and I can remember a day and a time whenever I was like some of these. If I must die, I will. And that's what it's going to take. Dedication, devotion.